Yeah. So I listened to your last one. It was resources.
Oh.
A list of like books and I guess just like a website or two and like just stuff that you've used.
Yeah.
Which I had found a lot of the same ones as well on my own. And when you said something like, if there's one thing you invest in, it's a laminator. And I have been thinking about that for the last, like, I don't know, 3 months. Wanting, like cards or, like, especially, like, I want to make these flashcards of, like, people you know or something. Like, my face that says mommy on it and Tim's face and, like, do familiar faces kind of thing. And I was like, oh, I just want to. And I've been asking my family, like, if they have access to a laminator, like, at work or something.
Just get a good one off of Amazon.
Well, I
just
see it's like Scotch, two Target. Different price points. There's like the $20 one and then there's like the $250
There's one that's like $30.
Okay.
It's like between 30. Actually, I think it's between $30 and $60.
Okay.
And it's worth, I can take a picture of mine.
Okay.
Actually, maybe I'll take a picture of it and then link it on the podcast so everybody else can see which one I have. Because it works and it's worked. It's gotten jammed once. I think that was a user error. And I just got some needle nose pliers and pulled the plastic out. And it was fine. Kept running.
Yeah.
And I've been going on this one for...
As long as you just put like a single sheet of paper in there, it should be fine.
I don't know what happened. I don't know if I stuck it in backwards because there's a sealed edge that can't on one end. And then the other end is open on the laminator patch. Pouch. So I might have put it in backwards or just, I don't know. I cram my shelves. Sometimes, you know, I do that. So something could have got stuck in the middle, in front of it, and I forgot, or I don't know, my coffee or something. Who knows? And like jammed it. But this podcast is powered by homeschoolbuyerscoop.org. The main question I've been getting recently with the COVID pandemic is how can we start homeschooling? Some school districts aren't even opening up, and they don't want to be at the mercy of an iPad or computer to do their schoolwork every day. So people are looking into homeschool options. One of those options is joining homeschoolbuyerscoop.org. They do the work for you of searching through the tens of thousands of options of curriculum, and they dial it down to 3 to 5 options of proven, tested, high-quality curriculum. They have over 260,000 families. So they use this membership to go to curriculum companies and say, hey, we want to buy this much of your curriculum. What's your discount you can give us for that? It's just like a bulk discount. It's your Sam's or Costco, but for homeschoolers. If you enter the code Montessori, when you sign up for your free membership, you get the Montessori Mom podcast discount of $5 on your first order. They are family owned and operated. They're homeschoolers themselves that decided, hey, we want the discounts that big schools, public school systems are getting. So how can we join together as homeschoolers and get discounts on curriculum? So check out homeschoolbuyersco-op.org. Welcome to the podcast,
Katie.
Thank you. Thanks for coming on.
Yeah. Thanks for having me. It's like been almost exactly a year since I came on last time because I was like 8 months pregnant. And now Aaron is almost a year old. We're celebrating his first birthday at July 22nd, 24th, 24th.
I'm glad I'm not the only one that guesses that gets confused.
Yeah.
My kids'
our
birthdays.
Anniversary is the 22nd.
Okay.
So I'm always like, the 24th. It was 2 days after our anniversary. So yeah,
it's exciting.
Learning a lot. Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So tell me the difference between like, because you've always been interested in Montessori.
Yes.
Well, not always, but I don't know. Sometime before he was born, you got interested in Montessori.
Many years ago.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so tell me the difference between what you thought about it then and what you think about it now after having Aaron, who's now he's not 11 months then.
Yeah, that's a good question, because obviously, like, you know, I think I saw from the outside how like polished it can look, and like it's just so not like that all the time. And I guess I had hoped that there would be more in like the first few months, But there's just like so little that you can do with them, like other than just like basic interaction, like speaking to them and like nursing and like caring for their basic needs. So I think I was like a little bit impatient to get started in Montessori for the first like 6 months. I was just kind of waiting for him to like have some sort of like, I don't know, comprehension of like what I'm saying or doing. So I think like it was probably like when he was like 4 or 5 months that he finally got like a grasping rattle.
Yeah.
And that was like fun. Like, oh, wow. Look, he's clenching his fist.
Yeah.
But for the first like 5 months, there was like, not that much.
You're pretty easy.
Yeah.
It gets hard when they get mobile.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're actually just got there. He started walking, which has been so much fun. And yeah, I love it.
That's
awesome. Having a baby. It's like way more fun than I thought it would be too.
Yay.
I just am like loving it. We're like baby fever all the way. We just think it's so great. We love being parents and like having a baby around the house. So yeah, it's just, I guess it's a lot more chaotic.
Okay.
It's a lot messier. And like, it's never like the first time you try something, it's not necessarily going to like go beautifully.
Right.
Or just because one child, that's another thing. Like I also follow the Howie Montessori blog. So I'll look on there like 8 months and look and see like what they have on their shelf and like what activities they're doing at that stage. And Aaron might be like 2 months behind on that.
Right.
And that's a little bit frustrating. Like I'll put something out on the shelf, like a peg with a ring to see if he can put the ring on the peg. And, you know, in the blog, it says that the baby has mastered it at this stage, at this like age range. And then it kind of feels like, I don't know. You're just like, every baby is different, which
it is. Yeah. It depends on when they started sitting up and when they start walking and when they start using their hands.
Yeah.
And how much, just how much practice they have on that.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, part of the theory is that if you give them things to work on, then they will master it quicker, but they may just also not be interested or into it yet. Montessori talks about that a lot, especially at the first of the school year, that depending on where the kids are from, like if they're richer kids or poorer kids, makes a big difference. But especially if they're like richer, well, more well-to-do kids and they've got a lot of stuff at home, that they'll just wander for 4 weeks. And then after the fourth week, they'll finally like hone in on their first work and really get focused on it. And then the rest is history. But it takes them that long just to settle into something, to get interested. So even exposure might have something to do with that. Like even if they can't do it, leaving it out there for them, because you know that they should. This is around the time.
We did that with like a walker wagon.
Yeah.
We just like had some like weights in it and like he would pull up on it, but a lot of times it would roll away. And like there was, or like the chair. Oh my gosh, the chair. Is also something I thought like, wow, it's like, I just thought like the little chair is so cute. Yes.
Yeah.
And actually we made one with crates from IKEA. They're like little.
I'm super interested because I know that like they're wooden crates that they sell flat and then you nail them together.
Yes.
Okay. How did you do that?
I found a,
I've been
all into like Montessori Instagram because there's a lot of moms who will make like a separate Instagram account just for their child's like journey.
Okay.
And this mom posted about it. Of course, I only follow the ones that do like DIY, like super cheap.
Yeah.
Make it yourself stuff.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's basically like a little crate that's very short and it comes flat. So you can just assemble.
It's a 10-inch crate.
I don't remember the dimensions, but yeah, it sits like 6 inches off the ground. So it's perfect weaning height.
Yeah.
And it has arms, which is awesome too. And because it's a crate, it has like handle spaces.
So you can just pick it up, move them around.
As soon as I saw it, I bought it and it cost $12 because each crate is like $6.
Yeah.
But the weaning chair is like a danger zone for us. Like he always like, he doesn't like sitting in the chair.
Okay.
At all. As soon as we sit him in it, he stands right back up.
Yeah. Does he prefer, so he prefers to stand up.
He loves
because
to stand
he's working
at the table.
On standing.
Yeah. He hates the weaning chair. So a lot of times he would push back and the chair would topple over, because I guess if you buy like a nice Montessori weaning chair, they're kind of like angled on the chair, like arms and legs.
But they're also meant for kids who can't sit up yet. They're like, it's like a Montessori Bumby. So that's why the arms are there, because it keeps them wedged in between the table and in the arms. There's no way they can fall out.
Yeah.
So it just helps him work on sitting up. So he's past the weaning chair then, if he's standing up.
Oh, yeah. As soon as we put him in the weaning chair, he didn't want it.
Oh, that's so sad. You worked so hard. I know.
We still try and, like, force him into it, because I want him to be able to, like, do, like, eat there, but then also, like, do work there.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That was also, like, the wagon and the chair, we just always kept out, and he would get hurt like all the time, fall over and like, you know, bonk his head or whatever. And Tim would be like, well, let's put this away. Like, it's obviously like dangerous. I'm like, we have to leave it out because I want him to learn how to climb into the chair, and I want him to learn how to like pull up on the wagon. It's just hard to like also see them like getting hurt and like, you know, cries so hard.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that was like also a little bit like fell out of love with the weaning chair a little bit. Yeah. So I'm like, like, nightmare chair. It's just like, causing injury. That's what it felt like. It just causing injury and he doesn't want to sit in it.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Well, and that'll get the more subsequent children get more hardy, because they have much less attention than the first. So they'll bonk their heads and then not cry. And you don't feel as bad because they're just realize they're not like everything's okay. Or they're forced to think that because no one can just come pick them up immediately.
Yeah.
Like, hold on a second, change into poopy diaper. I'll come get your bleeding mess in like 2 minutes, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm definitely like a helicopter mom. Like, as soon as he falls, I'm like sweeping him up and like, you know, coddling him. Because I'm just like, I'm very sensitive to his cries. And
yeah.
I also thought I would be like way more like disciplined and like hardcore about some. And it just like so softened by like, you know, just beautiful. Love him so much. Yeah. I'm just like, I don't know. I guess I feel like I maybe judged moms too harshly that like were like pushovers with their kids, because I thought like, oh, those moms are, you know, so soft, and so they're like, that's why their kids behave badly or something.
Yeah.
And now I'm the soft mom that like, you know, my whole world revolves around his nap schedule, and like I just never thought that I would be that person. Yeah.
Well, it's definitely a biological response to be like,
it's to just like want your to help brain when you hear them. Have to respond.
So they literally have done brain scans of mothers and fathers when their children cry. And so when a baby cries, and they did the CAT scan of or the brain scan of the mother. So like all the top part of their head, which isn't your prefrontal cortex, but somewhere, I forget the part of your brain, you could probably tell me. So, like, all up here at the top where, like, the feeling emotion portion of your brain is, like, lights up crazy red activity. And then they do the brain scan of the father with the child crying. Nothing.
Really?
Nothing at all.
Oh, my gosh. Like, no empathy.
Well, I'm sure it's part of that. But actually, like, you do, your hormones do change the way you react to that when you go through pregnancy. Yeah.
Another thing I didn't think I would love so much is breastfeeding.
Yeah.
I have had such a positive experience with breastfeeding. And I remember seeing other women who would like sob over the end of their breastfeeding journey, like when they finally weaned their baby. And it was just like very devastating. And I didn't get it. I was just like, I don't understand why you're so upset. Like, it just didn't make any sense to me. And now that I have a baby and I love our like nursing relationship, it's very positive. I've just like, it was rough at the very beginning getting started, but it's just like been so great. And I'm just like, I get now the like sadness of it ending. But yeah, that's probably like one of my favorite parts of like,
that's so awesome,
becoming a mom. And it's like our go-to like chill out time, because like if Aaron's like getting really riled up and just like wild. We can just like nurse for a couple minutes and everything's like good again. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. Sometimes I think he's just hungry, but other times maybe it's like the comfort or like,
yeah.
Yeah.
It can go both ways.
Yeah.
There for both things.
Yeah. All wrapped in one. For me too. I need a couple minutes to like chill.
Oh, it's an amazing excuse to just go away in a room and close the door. Like,
I need to go now.
Yeah. I loved that about being out anywhere. I mean, you always have an excuse to just be in the back room. Of course, I've always been that kind of a person. I like being around people in crowds, but I'm always like on the back porch. Mm-hmm. I'm not in the house, like in the party. I'm like on the back porch.
Okay.
So it fits my personality probably too, to just be like, oh, I'm enjoying you having fun over there.
Yeah.
While I sit calmly over here.
Yeah. Yeah. It's pretty great.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah. Loving it. I love being a mom. It's so much fun.
So Aaron's 11 months and what's he doing now? Set the stage.
Well, okay. Definitely movement is like number one.
Yeah.
Like we're all about walking everywhere all the time. He loves like peekaboo. So he'll like crawl around the corner and peek from behind the couch and stuff like that. That's like our number one fun game.
That's so fun.
And his laugh is more like a scream laugh.
That's the best.
Yeah. So it's just like a squeal of delight, you know, which has been really fun. Tim, of course, is like, he can make Aaron laugh like nobody else. It's like really cool. Their special bond.
Yeah.
What are the things like Montessori? He's totally mastered object permanence box.
Okay.
Which has been very exciting. I made one out of cardboard. It had like a shoe box that I just awesome. Like cut a hole in the top and use like a ping pong ball.
Perfect.
Works great.
Works great.
It has a lot of tape on it to keep, make it like sturdy.
Yeah.
And like for the first 2 months that it was on the shelf, he just like grabbed the box and like banged the box and didn't understand. But
yeah.
Object permanence box he's totally got, which is like, you know, my little mommy Montessori heart.
Yeah.
It's like, look at him. He's mastered like one ring on a peg.
Okay.
So we've kind of migrated to the rainbow stacker has a cone on the bottom. It has four rings. He can stack the rings, but he doesn't quite understand that there's an order to them. So sometimes he stacks them out of order,
yeah.
Which it obviously looks wrong, but we're getting there.
Yeah.
What else is he doing? We read a lot. He's mastered turning the page. We just do board books because the pages are too,
of course,
just tears it up.
That's why there are board books.
The board books are great. Actually, I was driving over here and I had put a board book on the top of the car and it fell off. And I like turned around and went in the middle of this like busy street. It was like 40 mile an hour car. And I went back and got that board book because they're like treasure troves. Like I need to get that board book back.
I love it.
They're like, yeah, I love
this is my necessity.
Yeah. We read a lot of books, which that's like the majority of the shelf right now is like just books. Yeah. We have one like sensory book that has like a patch of fur for like a cat or something.
Okay.
He kind of gets it, but he's mostly still just interested in like turning the page.
So what kind of books? Do you have books with like pictures of real things, like real pictures?
We did just get one. It's called like Baby's First 100 Words.
Okay.
And it kind of has like a grid page. So every like page has four images. And I really like that. Although I kind of wish it was the identical image to what we have at our house. So like if there's like a high chair image, I want it to be my high chair instead of just like a different.
Mm-hmm.
Or like there's one picture of a rattle, but it's like this square like block like kind of looking thing. Yeah. I'm okay. Like, I don't know. I guess I just wish it was like, my thing. So that's another thing I wanted to get the laminator was like, make like cards with like the image of like our cup instead of like a sippy cup or whatever we have.
Yeah, that would make total sense. Yeah, we've done that with chore charts. Mm-hmm. I just like Google whatever thing we have and like find the exact image, because there's always like, if you buy something from a store, there's an image of it online somewhere nowadays.
Sure.
So I just take the image and put it on our chore chart because my kids don't read yet. I guess almost three of them read.
Okay. But
this has been like very recently we've been reading.
Okay.
Like actually learning to sound out words and stuff.
Yeah.
So our chore charts are all images.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We have that. And then, yeah, we're like 17 months apart.
Okay.
And we did Montessori together in school. And she kind of had this resurgence of love for Montessori in the past year or so.
Okay.
Which has been cool because I was kind of the lone nut in the family being into Montessori. They're like, okay, like, this is obviously not going to work.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, very against, not against, but just like doubtful.
Yeah.
So that's been really cool to have like my sister like backing me up. She'll be like, oh yeah, like I know what this is. And she uses the same language and stuff.
Yeah.
And she's into reading Montessori too. She's actually going to be working as a Montessori aide at St. Francis of Assisi.
No way. Irving. Awesome.
Yeah.
Yay.
They hired her for this next school year.
Cool.
Yeah.
That's great.
So she will like hunt for me when she's like out, like we'll do like the thrift shopping or like garage sales and stuff.
Oh, that's great.
So she just gave me, yes.
Doing that for you.
So she just gave me some books that have like images of like food or animals. That's really hard. Animals like are always depicted in like these outlandish cartoony like things.
Yeah. You have to get like older books, which aren't, you know, they're not really the board books to get those.
Yeah. Pictures. We have some like, I want to say like Discovery Channel style books where it's like learning about an animal. Like there's a book about sharks or a book about like lions, and that has real pictures in it.
Yeah.
But they don't, they have the pages. It's not the board book.
Yeah. Even just a farm animals one. You know, I think about that a lot is that we have all these books of all these crazy animals that we're never going to see in real life or maybe in a zoo. And I also feel at the same time that we're taking that experience away from them of seeing that animal in real life for the first time ever, never seeing a picture of it before. I mean, think about that experience you would have.
Interesting. Yeah.
Of like being confused, like, never seeing this shape before and like this pattern on this animal coat and like its name, you know, all of those new things.
Like it's more normal because you've seen it in like a picture book.
Yeah. Then you feel like you just already know.
Oh my gosh. Man, now I feel kind of sad. Like maybe I shouldn't expose him to anything.
I mean, sorry I brought you into my dark thoughts of
true though. Like,
learning that shouldn't be that dark.
Yeah. Yeah. Hmm. Like, yeah. I can see why.
And then it's like, also like, well, why go to Africa and see those animals? We have pictures of them right here. I can watch them on the TV.
Sure.
And otherwise of having the experience.
Yeah, it's like not as exciting and new.
Right, yeah. Think about how much more exciting travel would be. It's probably why I feel like people used to travel more. Maybe I'm completely wrong and they didn't travel as much because it was much harder. But
yeah.
Travel is so easy for us compared to anything in our history. You can be across the world in 24 hours.
Mm-hmm. I think that sometimes I have like this screensaver on my like work desktop that changes every time I log out. And it's all these like amazing photography of like national parks or like really cool like ocean scenes or something. I'm like, even if I went there in real life, it's not going to look as cool as this picture because this picture is like an enhanced image.
Or from a drone.
Sure.
You know, unless you're up there in an airplane, not getting sick like I did flying the Grand Canyon. It was so disappointing. We're flying over the Grand Canyon and all I'm looking at is in this brown paper sack and throwing up. Like, why didn't I take Dramamine? Who was responsible
or just
for giving this child Dramamine?
Look at the picture.
Aww.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'll have to think about that. I'll ponder that one.
So what originally brought me to this thought was Montessori's whole discovery. thing about discovering something for the first time. And whenever you, I mean, she's all about showing them images of like real life images and stuff, but she never, I don't remember reading anything about exposing children to like things not in their culture and in their world. She's all about integrating them into their own culture.
Interesting.
Yeah. So I wonder about that. And then there is this article, and I'm going to have to look it up and link it to, and it's all about how if you like travel and like all of the hype about it and like pictures and like if you've read something about it, you feel like you already know about it. Or like, so say you're in lab and you're dissecting a crazy fish from the ocean. You've never seen it live. You're dissecting it and you've seen all its insides and you're like, oh, I know this fish. But then this article is like, well, you actually, that is a type of like a misnomer and a thief because you don't really know that fish. You've never seen it in real life. You've never seen it in its own habitat. Like you don't know how it operates in like its own social, you know, school of fish and, you know, where it is in the ocean. Like there's so much missing there. So he talks about how exposing someone to something beforehand with like pictures and images does take that from you. And it was like a furtherment of what Montessori says about the discovery of the child.
Interesting saying this, like it, triggering in back of my mind, we're planning a trip, to a national forest. Where are we going? Yellowstone. We're going to go to Yellowstone.
Yay.
And I had a friend that went like this past week and posted like some really awesome pictures. And I wanted to talk to this friend about it, but I didn't want to look at any of the pictures because I was just like, I want to see that for myself. I had that kind of like experience of like, I know it's going to be awesome and I know these pictures are awesome and I don't want to look at the pictures because I want to like, have that like initial experience myself.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting.
It is. It is.
Wow. Well, there you go. Just get rid of all my books now. Yeah. Man. Okay. Think about it. I'll think about it.
These are the things I think about when I'm nursing in the dark.
Can't sleep at night.
Yeah. Or, oh my gosh. Yeah. That's been happening a lot lately. So crazy. What happens? I guess after you have children, you just
worry.
Once you stop sleeping,
you never start again.
I've been waking up at 3 a.m. and not going, like, I'm tired. I want to sleep. I'm laying in bed. Can't go to sleep.
Yeah.
I fall back asleep as everybody else is waking up.
Oh, no.
It makes for a horrible morning.
Oh, man.
Anyways. I wish Montessori would come solve sleep.
What do we do?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been fun. Loving it.
Okay, so Erin is dropping things on the floor.
Yes, I need to discuss this with you. Like, okay, so we have a high chair, and then we have the weaning table.
Okay.
And if there is a, like, simple no-mess meal, I put him at the weaning table.
Okay.
Which is generally, like, a banana, or, like, I'll make, like, a fried egg in the morning and cut it up for him, and it's, like, not super messy. Yeah. And if he decides he wants to stand up and, like, dance around the table while he's eating, like, whatever.
Yeah, he can do that. Great.
But if we're going to eat something like tonight we had chicken and rice, like, we're going to put him on. And, you know, if we're going to eat, like, as a family,
we do that. We always
put him in the high chair.
Up at the table for the family meal.
So the high chair is great. It's fine. But also, like, we think he's great and we think everything he does is funny. So, like, if he smiles, like, we smile too. We can't help it.
Yeah.
So, like, you know, we're trying to do some baby sign, but we don't really know what we're doing. And we're totally inconsistent. We're, like, not very good resource for him. But so, like, if he, like, claps or plays, like, we just, like, think it's so great. And we'll, like, play with him at the table a lot.
Yeah.
But in the last, like, month or so, he's starting to, like, wipe very, like, aggressively back and forth on the tray.
Okay.
I think part of it is because I was trying to get him to wipe the tray like at the end of a meal. It's like we were cleaning. So I'd like give him a wipe and he would wipe his tray. And that was part of like cleaning up.
Yeah.
So I think that sometimes he's wiping because he's like done eating. And that's like he's signaling like I'm done eating. But sometimes he's just like playing and he's still hungry. Like if we give him more food, he'll keep eating. So... Also, like, I don't know how to, like, discipline my child because until very recently, he's not really done anything that, like, requires discipline because there's never been a moment where you know he knows better and does it anyway.
Yeah.
Until very recently. So now he's just, like, vigorously wiping all over the tray and, like, getting it everywhere.
Yeah.
And... we have been, like, picking up the food and putting it back on the tray.
Yeah.
Which I don't know if that's the right thing to do, but that's what we do. And we sometimes say no. Actually, at the 9-month pediatrician appointment, they take this, like, ages and stages quiz.
Oh.
And one of the questions was, do they, like, understand and respond to no? Which we hadn't really, like, tried that at that stage. We hadn't said no or, like... come that's here okay. or like give it to me. Like we usually speak to him in like a full sentence. We don't like do like commands like that.
Yeah.
So it was really only until he turned 9 months that we started speaking to him in that way of like really simple, short.
Just because the pediatrician said that or did it come naturally?
I think because it was in this quiz and then we felt like, oh, we need to say these things to see if he does respond to like, in order to answer the question on the quiz, we need to like try it out and see like if we say no or like put that down or come here or give it to me, then like we need to know if he can respond to those things like as a developmental milestone. So we just like switched the way we were talking to him basically at the 9 months.
Anyway. Go back.
I feel like
retrack your steps. Don't listen to your dumb
doctor. I don't like know what to do. Like I need a tutorial on like how to and I thought I'll just model proper table manners.
Yeah. That's like, the most perfect way to do that for a child.
Use my spoon and fork. Also, we haven't really introduced utensils. Like very rarely, but not really. So, obviously he's not seeing me throw my food on the ground.
Yeah.
I don't know. Sometimes he picks it up and like throws it over his head.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's like he's wiping the top of his head or like scratching the back of his head and he'll like pick up food and like throw it back there.
Yeah.
Or like sometimes he will pick it up and just like look me in the eye and drop it over the side of the tray.
Like, so he's studying you.
No.
To see, and he's like,
being cute.
What does this mean? Like what happens when I do this? It's it's like the base.
He's watching and I'm probably smiling because he's being adorable.
Yeah, well, probably. So, but it's the base way to figure out life.
Sure.
Figure out like,
if I do
cause
this,
and effect.
How do they respond?
It could be.
Yeah.
Or he could just want to see it drop and see what happens. I mean, that's an exciting thing. Mm-hmm. Gravity is exciting. Mm-hmm. And he's figuring it out.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So, you know, you could do many things. It seems like in this stage of my kids doing this, we go to if it's something messy, if I make something messy, I know I'm feeding that child. Or I make something not messy just for them to eat. I used to do that.
Yeah.
With like, we might have some fancy meal, but I'm giving them cooked beans.
Yeah. Because, I do and steam then like, broccoli like almost every meal because I can just he can
yeah he can it just eat it easy. Yeah. So I mean that's natural, I think, for them to do that and figure that out. And yeah, so what we do too is like we only put like a little bits on their tray at a time. Mm-hmm. You know, I have them next to me and I'm like,
yeah,
I put a bite on their tray. They eat it. Once they swallow it, I'll put the next bite on.
Yep.
You know, so that's kind of like if you already have the food cut up in front of you, it's easy to do without too much fuss. And like, you know, so you could do that.
I do.
Okay.
Most of the time I do.
Okay.
I rarely give it something in large quantities because sometimes I also see him, it almost is like a confusing, like to make a choice of like what yes. thing to grab.
Yeah.
Especially if there's multiple food, different foods on the tray. There's a little bit of that, like, mm-hmm. I'm not sure, like, which makes sense. Thing to yeah. pick up. So, yes, we do mostly,
yeah.
I would say, no more than, like, 3 items, either similar items or different foods on yeah. the tray at a time.
Okay.
And, yeah, normally it's like, I'm not going to give you any more if you keep throwing it on the,
yeah, you know, yeah, like, that's all
if
you
he throws
do
it on the tray, like yeah. 3 times, then like,
yeah, you could also just say, like, if he does that, you could just say, all okay, this is a sign for all done.
Okay,
you just say, all done, mm-hmm. and you take his tray off and get him down, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Do you pick up the food when they drop it on the ground?
So usually, if they're doing it several times, then I let them get down to pick it up. I'll get them down and say, uh oh. It's on the floor now. And usually when they'll say uh-oh too when they pick it up and put it back. Or pick it up and put it in
and
their mouth.
Put them back in the tray. I mean, back in the
chair.
It doesn't
happen more than a few times. It does not. They will not do it. They learn. It's a quick response. In my experience, you'll have to let me know if that's totally okay. not true.
Okay.
It could be someone out there right now saying, oh, my kid has done that. I've counted 50 times in one night. But also, if they're that mobile... We have IKEA high chairs
mm-hmm.
that they're high, but they're like a regular little kid chair. They're just up higher.
Oh, yeah.
So Kateri,
like a stool, like a bar stool.
Yeah. So our youngest, she's been able to climb up in and out of them from like 14 months on.
Mm.
So, yeah, especially if it's something like that, she's like, okay, fell down. Like, let's pick it up
mm-hmm.
and we'll pick it up.
Then resume the meal.
And then she can, yeah. But she's definitely not going to get any more food if she drops on the floor. But I wouldn't, don't worry about letting your doctor parent your child too much. I'd keep up with the Montessori stuff. You know, Montessori would say it's no use in saying no until they're 3 because they literally can't not do it if it's in their mind.
Hmm.
If it's in their mind, they can't not think of it. Like, it's there. So you have to change what's in their mind for them and just move on.
Mm.
So you have to move them to a different subject.
That's good because saying no is not working at all.
Yeah, it's...
It maybe stops him for a second where he's like, I think he's just sort of responding to a noise. It's like, oh, what? They're saying something. And then he goes back to whatever he's
saying. I mean, if you get like me look angry, mm-hmm. then that might cause him to like... associate whatever you're doing with fear and then mm-hmm. he like might stay away from it or like, but you don't want that in your relationship yeah. if you don't have to have that.
Sure.
You don't want to be like this mean mom who's done that way too many times with her children.
Oh yeah, totally. Well, because I'm laughing the whole time because everything he's doing is cute. So sometimes I'll try and like furrow my brow like so he knows that when I say no, it doesn't mean like something funny, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing.
So it doesn't sound like you need patience with this. I would need patience with this. And like something to inspire me. So if anybody out there is experiencing this, you can look in The Absorbent Mind by okay. Maria Montessori. She has a chapter 14 on intelligence and the hand. And it's really beautiful. She talks about how like the thing that differentiates us most from other animals is our hands, and that all the peoples throughout history, we can tell things about them and like still know about them from works of their hands, from like art or like all the Egyptian artifacts, any type, like even rudimentary, like third world country indigenous peoples have things that they've made with their hands or artwork. And it was often very intricate. And so she connects that with like a child learning their first how to grasp something and that he's starting this work of his hands. And
mm-hmm.
and that's part of like a big thing of what makes us human. That if we only had language and we didn't have our hands to work with and make beautiful things, that we wouldn't know like about past humans. Mm-hmm. There would just wouldn't be any, you can't record words. There wasn't a way to record words until very recently, efficiently, you know, mm-hmm. and even at then, I mean, this book is not going to last for more than, you know, 20 years. mm-hmm. So thousands and thousands of years of history we have from artifacts of people, the things that they've made. So she talks about how important it is and how significant it is of a child starting the work of learning to use their hands. And it's really beautiful.
Interesting.
Yeah, she even talks about this grasping and letting things fall. So.
Okay.
That's fun.
I guess I have some reading to do.
Yeah. What it's, about, it's like, 5 pages, that chapter. Okay. It's not long.
Okay, I can do that.
Yeah.
What about, like, introducing utensils at the table? When do you start that? Because I've demonstrated
whenever they can grab something.
Okay. It's just mostly just like a little bat for him right now. Like,
just leave a spork there.
Bang it.
Sporks are great.
Sporks.
You know what a spork is, right?
Yeah, but like, yeah. Do you buy like a baby spork?
Buy a baby spork with a big handle, you know, a big chunky handle so they can grasp it easy. And then they can usually fork or spoon anything that they got between whatever you have. Like they could spoon beans, they could spork a banana, banana slice.
And just like leave it on the tray when they're eating?
Yeah.
Or you could put it.
Or you could put it. I don't know if you have a place for his things yet that he could get out, but you could put a little like place in your kitchen for like his utensils and like plates and things and like have it there and he could go get it. He wants it. I don't know how well he's walking yet.
Not. He likes to walk assisted.
Okay.
He can walk unassisted, but he doesn't like to.
Yeah. Okay.
If we like take our hand away, he just like throws a fit and falls on the ground and like doesn't want to.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of coaxing to get him to like take steps on his own. But I'm sure that he's very interested in walking. So the desire is there.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's just close, very close to like
walking he's attached.
More independently.
He's attached to you.
Yeah.
That's a good thing.
I like it.
Yeah.
Not going to complain. Yes. Okay. I'll have to try those things. We'll see.
Yeah, so it doesn't mean, even though they can, so Montessori would say to start when they can grasp something so they can start learning to use that. But it doesn't mean he's going to use it well or for that purpose immediately.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it would help if it looked more like yours.
Oh, yeah. Well, I do, but actually I was gifted a very nice, like, silverware set.
Oh yeah.
And it has like baby size and then toddler size.
Okay.
So I have like a spoon and fork.
So it's like silverware.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Yeah.
So this probably has thin handles.
Yes.
Yeah. That's can be a problem. But you could always try it. You could have enough dexterity to grasp it.
We have several different things. We have like other ones that are like really short plastic that were like, I don't know. They're like travel ones because they're just disposable. So
yeah,
they were like $1 for
and if
like
you're
a
like
pack
me, you're never going to throw them away.
Oh no, of course not. I'm going to use every single one until they like break. But those are really short and they're a little bit thicker, but I guess what I'm concerned about the fork being so like dull, you know, because it's really rounded prongs, like very thick rounded prongs.
Well, if it's too sharp and they don't have much hand control, they could poke themselves. So you don't want to poke themselves. Rarely is a fork that sharp that they're really going to poke themselves. It's not scissors.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, that's an if it there's totally ones like that. So maybe don't use like it if
nothing.
You. Yeah, he might get frustrated and like, what's the point of this? It's not working.
Yeah.
Yeah, you don't want him to use it if it's not going to work.
Okay. So. Like another, we have like some set of spoons. Of course, this is all gifted. I never buy anything for my child. That's like
that's
really long too. I think they're like more for like feeding.
Okay.
So they have like a very small tip, but then like very, very long and kind of a bigger handle. But again, I think it's more for like someone who's going to be spoon feeding the baby versus
them that'd be being super hard for them
themselves.
To themselves with a long candle.
I think I need some different spins, or maybe I'll try the travel ones. Those might be like a good middle of the road one.
Yeah.
Looking for the thrift. I go to the thrift store all the time. I find stuff.
I used to always make really thick mashed potatoes.
Okay.
To get the idea across.
Yeah.
Because those are, they're so gooey that they're not, like, they could almost hold it upside down and it's not going to fall off the spoon.
Okay. So not, like, chunky. Not where, like, they have big clumps and you're, like, scooping a clump.
Well, as long as they can chew up the clump, it's fine.
Okay. Aaron has, like, 5 or 6 teeth now, so he can pretty much eat anything.
Well, I mean, if you've been nursing him, he has a strong jaw. Okay. So he can probably chew it up.
Okay.
A boiled potato pretty well.
All right.
Yeah, if it's not green or uncooked, I'm sure he could gum it down.
Yeah.
It's always determined. Really surprised me how much kids can eat without teeth.
Yeah.
Even carrots. And like they like just gum it for a while and then they'll chomp it with their front teeth and then like gum. Of course, my youngest, Kateri, has like, she keeps food in her mouth all day. She loves having food in her mouth.
Like hides it in her cheek?
Yeah, she just keeps it in her mouth. She'll get down from the table, shove something in her mouth 30 minutes later. And usually like we have.
Do you fish it out? You just leave it in there.
I mean, she's the fifth. At this point, it's like, well, do whatever you're going to do. But until her, well, I just didn't know she had it in her mouth because our rule is that you eat while you're at the table. You don't get down until you're done eating. You don't stuff your mouth full and then go clean your plate with the full mouth while you're chewing it. Like you finish eating at the table, then you get down.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we have crazy boys who I'm like, okay, you're going to start wrestling with food in your mouth and choke. Suck it in when you're, you know, your brother slams you on the floor.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was another thing we had to, like, move the weaning table because it was, like, kind of right next to the living room.
Mm-hmm.
Because he didn't really want to sit in the chair, he'd, like, have a fistful of banana or, like, a mouthful of banana and then go immediately to the couch or to the rug and, like, smear banana all over the living room. So we had to, like, move the weaning table. Now it's far enough away that, like,
there's a separation.
The radius of, you know, food that goes everywhere doesn't quite touch, like, all of our furniture.
Yeah, so it's, like, his separate. It's more separate.
Yeah.
Separate eating space. That's very Montessori, too. Look at you. See, you intuit these things.
I'm figuring it
out. They're intuitive.
I'm trying. Yeah, Tim and I are reading, it's Red. What's it called? Wow, I'm totally blanking. It's Small and Red. The Secret of Childhood.
Oh, okay.
That's what we're reading.
Okay.
And it's been good. Like, I've been insisting that Tim and I read it together.
Yeah.
Because it's been a lot of, like, me learning and then relaying it to him. And, like,
yeah,
you know, it's kind of hard to convey everything because it is, like, a whole philosophy of thought.
It is. So, and she brings it from, like, this beautiful, like, big world view down to, like, a kid grasping a spoon.
Right.
And how they're connected.
Yes.
And that is hard to relay.
Yes.
If you haven't sat down and thought this out for, you know, 4 years and now you're finally writing it down. Like, Maria Montessori.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So that's been cool to, like, because it's much more philosophy. It's not very practical.
Mm-hmm.
At least not yet. And we're, I don't know, like 3 or 4 chapters in. But that's been really good for, like, him to hear the philosophy and, like, really internalize that and, like, kind of think about it himself, too, which has been really cool. And I did read, you had mentioned books that you recommended. I did read Montessori from the Start, age 0 to 3. I think I only got to, like, chapter 6 because, like, chapters, like, 4, 5, and 6 are really practical.
Yeah.
So that was, like, what I was really trying to get to.
Yeah.
I'll probably finish it someday, but my library. Well,
when
had
Aaron
it,
gets to the age of chapter 7, then you'll read chapter 7.
Then I'll be interested again.
That's right.
Yeah, my library.
That's totally Montessori. You're not there yet, so you're not going to absorb
even
it.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah,
yeah. Oh yeah. Like whenever I look for like what can I, because I'm always trying to look like what can I put on his shelf that's going to be like the next challenge.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to look like 1 month ahead of like where he is, just like on a blog or on a resource to see like, what does this child at this age do and how can I make it myself? Because that's also, I need time to be able to make it myself because I'm not like, it's just too much to invest you
can,
in.
Exactly. You can go on a website that day and click it and buy it. But
if you have
the money,
$30 every month to buy a new thing.
Yeah. Well, probably more than that.
I'm sure. So even you as need the, they that get month older.
To research it, figure out how to make it yourself, get the stuff.
Yeah.
Make the time to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Or, you know, make the time to drive around the night before trash day and trash pick a few things.
There you go. Dumpster dive.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I found this actually. Okay. This is like, it's since you mentioned dumpster diving, like my family, we all dumpster dive. It's like shameful. It's like our family hobby that we do because the dump in Louisville.
That's so awesome.
In Louisville, dumpster trash day is Monday morning. So,
okay. You so easy to do Sunday night.
Yeah, yeah. You can do Sunday night or Monday morning.
Guess what we do after church? We recycle.
So, like, me and my sister, like, we'll go to each other's houses and be like, show me what you got. And, like, we pop open our trunk and be like, okay, I saw this, I saw this. And, like, we even, like, collect things to sell later. Like, if we think that, like, we could sell it online for more, and we'll, like, sell it.
I mean, you got it for free.
Yeah. If I got $5 for it, then I earned $5. But, yeah, I got this, like, really nice, like, white bookshelf.
Okay.
Like a low bookshelf, I'd say it's like waist high with like three shelves that have the adjustable heights.
Yeah.
On the curb, totally fine. It had a couple stickers on the side, like little kid stickers. Yeah. Whatever, you can pull those off.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're a big dumpster diver. Oh, yeah. Totally.
That's awesome.
And like the baskets, like I would love to put everything in the cute like little tray and like have the basket and stuff.
Yeah.
Just because I think it looks nice to be able to, like, pull the work off the shelf, like, as one thing, everything in the basket.
Yes.
But I'm not going to buy, like, a $10 basket for different spots on the shelf.
Baskets are expensive, even at thrift stores, just in our area. So if I go home to, like, Pottsboro, which is, like, population not even 2,000. Okay. I can get like 10 baskets for $5.
The thrift store prices are different in different towns.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe we just need to go.
Gotta hunt.
We just gotta like drive 30 minutes out of town, go to the thrift store.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Podunk Town. And
there you go. But I've also found myself like not wanting to acquire too many things.
Yeah, that is really, the whole minimalism thing has struck a chord with me, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what is necessary and what isn't.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, I've gone through my house a lot the past year. If you do want trays, though, Amazon has, Amazon, freaking Amazon.
I know, you can buy anything for so cheap.
Yeah.
And well, they're like wooden trays. Options.
I know. They only have like two options on wooden trays.
Okay.
Because apparently they're not that popular. And they're as you might expect, they are well priced.
Sure.
They have many different sizes. So when Aaron gets to the point where he can walk and he can carry a tray, if you want trays, wooden trays are decent on Amazon.
Okay.
And they're wooden. You know, they're not plastic.
Well, I went to the dollar store. They have like
a thin lip. Okay.
And they have a craft section of, like, lots of, like, raw wood things.
Yeah.
And a lot of times they're, like, a little wooden cross, and you, like, get your little paint out, and you paint your cross, and it's, like, you know, a craft thing. But they had wooden trays.
Yeah.
Dollar store. They were small, and they're very cheaply made.
Yeah.
It's, like, balsa wood.
Yeah. It's, like, very thin.
Yeah.
Like, breaks real easy.
Not going to hold any weight.
Yeah.
And I was, like, oh, my gosh. Look how small. Montessori stuff. I got like a little dustpan from there, like dollar store.
Oh, dustpans from dollar store. They are. Those are good.
Those will hold up.
Yeah, those will hold up for, you know, till they start playing swords with them. They'll hold up. That's when discipline comes in.
Okay. Yeah, the practical life work. Like that was kind of what my first, like, I could forego all the shelf work. For practical life work, I think at this point in my life, I haven't like made a commitment to do like a homeschool or like very formalized education Montessori style. So I really feel like the practical life work is going to be the most applicable to me in my home.
Yeah.
So I've just been like really searching for a lot of like, I want like little like sponges or brushes and I don't know, just like the things that are their size and shape. Oh my gosh, we're all into sweeping right now. The broom is everything. He freaks out about the broom. And even when I gave him the dustpan, he didn't really want the dustpan because he wants to like stand with me. I think he wants it partially to like stand and like walk around with the broom.
Okay.
But he'll like move the broom back and forth while I'm standing and holding it too. Anyway, I need to get him his own little broom because... Or if it would be great if there was a broom that had like training wheels, like a tricycle, and he
that
could
would
like
work for him.
That he could stand he up and like brooming, support his weight,
but not the wagon.
Yeah, and it could just like I don't know.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Oh, another good for the broom. Another good online thing is it's called foursmallhands.com, and it's not officially like Montessori anything, so it's not Montessori prices.
That's good.
And they have lots of these little things that are kid sized.
Okay. Four small hands.
Yeah. Or you could just, you know, saw off the end of a cheap broom.
Yeah. I thought I'll
put
just
taper
get a dollar
on the top
broom
so it doesn't scratch them. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. We started our first self care activity. I got him a toothbrush. Yes. I personally am not, this is totally gross, but I'm not like a very hygienic person at all. And so like that was not really a priority for me with Aaron. Like it's the people who daily baths, I'm not going to do that. And like the toothbrushing, like they told us whenever he was born that you should like wipe the gums at least even before the teeth come because it's like good for their gum health. So we kind of did that like half-heartedly when we remembered. But I was like, you know, we really need to be vigilant about the teeth thing because he's a year old now and he has five teeth, so we should take care of them. So we've started a part of our night routine. And he loves it. He loves the teeth brushing. He already gets the, like, motion and he likes biting the bristles and, like, rubbing it all over. He loves having his gums, like, rubbed on. I don't get that, but he's loved it basically since he was born. He, like, didn't ever... fuss about it. He would like go really like relaxed and let us like rub the
well they're
cloth
meant
on
for
there.
Things being on there and pressure put on them.
There you go.
So it makes sense. I mean most kids like having things in their mouth and something touching like a teary all the time.
keep that little bit back there.
Yeah. All my kids have liked brushing their teeth.
Okay.
And I just until they needed to, then they don't want to do it anymore. But I'm the same way. I'm like, really? You're going to lose these teeth? Well, you're obviously, you've expressed differently, but I'm like, you're going to lose these teeth? We don't need to worry about this yet. This is a waste of time.
My dad said the same thing. He's like, if there are any teeth to rot, it's the baby teeth.
Yeah. You can't get cavities in your baby teeth. And my uncle would say, it's more important, A, to floss than to brush your teeth. I mean, the kids already have huge spaces between their teeth. So we're all taken care of there. And like his big thing is like, I mean, they rot because of sugar. So if you're being vigilant about
not giving
them a ton of sugar, then they'll probably be fine. I mean, the only big thing would be is if they're like born without enamel, but which you would know if they were born without enamel. I mean, whether you brush your teeth or not has no bearing on that at all.
So give me like a overview of like what's next with my child. Like we're coming to a year. Obviously the year to 18 months I know is going to be really big growth, especially with like becoming independent and walking, be able to carry things and walk. I feel like that's a huge gateway to.
Yeah, the big thing is movement.
A lot of things.
Yeah.
Like what sort of things can I like prepare for like start demonstrating for him because I just don't know what he's capable of learning, you know?
They like to carry, as soon as they can carry things, they like to carry heavy things around. like as big as they can carry. Kateri can pick up a chair that's taller than her. They are little IKEA high chairs. Mm-hmm. They're literally 6 inches above her head and she's picking them up and carrying them around. It makes me so mad. She's getting into so many things that she should not be into, that she should not be able to reach. 3 foot above what she is, where all the things are.
She that climbs she should... and uses it as a step stool.
Yes.
Oh, clever
yes.
girl.
Yes, all over the house. It's so bad. She just turned two. Just turned two. So the big thing is movement.
Yeah.
And carrying things, gross motor movement.
Yeah.
Yeah. And even like he's going to get into throwing stuff.
Oh, yeah. So, we already throw the ball.
Yeah. So
we do like a catch.
That's fun. Yeah. So usually it's like with my boys, it's a problem. But so Montessori would say just make a work of throwing and teach them how to do like it appropriately. What? You know, like an indoor little cornhole.
Brilliant.
Yeah. If you don't know what cornhole is, it's a wooden board with a hole in it and you throw a bag of corn through it.
Yeah, like a bean bag.
So, yeah, so you could basically get two baskets and then throw bean bags in them. And that's they're getting to throw, but it's being used appropriately and they're not throwing it on the china cabinet, you know.
Right.
So they're exhibiting that behavior because it's something that calls to them that they're trying to build in themselves.
Okay.
So you're serving that purpose for them and you're also letting them, like, they're behaving in this way, giving them this work. So,
okay.
They're not you doing other bad things.
Love it.
Inadvertently. Not that they don't mean to do it.
Hmm. Oh, Aaron's doing this thing. I wanted to ask you if any of your boys did it. He's starting to push things under the couch.
Oh, that's object permanence, isn't it?
I don't know. He'll, like, lay on his belly and basically just, like, push it until it's, like, out of his reach and then just, like, walk away.
A toy?
Yeah.
Maybe he's hiding it. Ignatius had a hiding drawer. I didn't find it till he was... he was almost two.
What?
Yeah.
Where would he put it? Like, in his room?
No. Well, so he was in our room. We were basically all in the same. It was basically a family room because Dominic could not stand to be without of sight of me. And I was too tired to go up and get in another room. So Ignatius, I just put him in our room too, which it was a big room. So we all fit. He had his own crib. But so it was like we didn't basically really didn't have dressers. We just had those plastic thing drawers you can yeah. buy at the store. It's mm-hmm. like a 3-drawer thing. And I used the top 2 drawers, but I didn't use the bottom drawer much. I don't know. Maybe it was too low to reach. I didn't want to bend down that far. I just happened to open it up one day, and there's all this random stuff in there. He had been keeping. Like, yeah.
So he would find something stuff. And then open the drawer, put it in the drawer, close yes. the drawer, and you never saw him do it.
No.
You didn't even know it happened.
No, he's like that to this day. He's really? That sneaky.
What is that? I was like thinking, like, is this some sort of milestone? Like, is this a sensitive period for burying things?
It might be his personality of like, I like this and I want it to be mine.
It's so weird because like I'll fish the item or he back thinks it's out.
Interesting. Yeah.
And then he'll do it again.
We'll put it back.
Yeah. Huh. And it's mostly like his balls. He has like maybe 3 or 4 different balls that are different like weights and sizes and stuff.
Okay.
He mostly just puts them under there. And I've thought like, oh, they're rolling underneath there like when we're playing. And
yeah.
But then we've started to see in the last couple of weeks, like he will, and he'll like have to push his face like up against the couch in order to reach like really, really far and get it back like where he can't reach it anymore.
Where do you keep the balls?
Usually just like in a basket in the living room.
So they're all in one basket?
Yeah.
Interesting. He wants them under the couch instead.
So that you've never seen that before?
I wonder if it is like the object permanence box, though. You put it in and it disappears. It's another ball like going into a space that you can't see.
Okay.
I don't know. That's the only connection I can make.
He's thinking like, where will it come out? Like if it'll come out in a different end? Like if I slide this
it'll
thing
come
over,
out in the kitchen?
It'll just like drop from the ceiling. Yeah, he's definitely like, yeah, it's fun to see like their mind work, like putting things together, learning.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
And stuff.
A big thing about Montessori is like the first step is observing. Like, why are they doing what they're doing? Mm-hmm. What are they trying to achieve? Yeah, there's a reason for their behavior. Well, thanks for coming on the podcast, Katie.
No problem. Thanks for answering my questions about my strange child.
Thanks for sharing about Aaron and all your journey until now.
Mm-hmm. It's fun.
Awesome. Thanks for listening, guys. Thanks for listening to Montessori Mom. Thank you.